that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
Oh, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to the Geeky Bubble Podcast, where we talk about the Star Wars animated shows from the comfort of our own geeky bubble. I am your host, Jonah Marie, and with me is the AZ to my Omega, my mom, Maria.
Yay!
Today,
we're going to discuss the Bad Batch episode, Return to Kamino.
Right. So, Return to Kamino, which I predicted, by the way.
Yes.
I was so happy. Was written by Matt Mignowitz and directed by Nathaniel Villanueva. So, before we get into it, I'm just so happy that we got a season two announcement, because I feel like it took off some of the tension that was going to happen in these last two episodes, because I just didn't know whether we were going to get another season. And so now that we have one, I feel a little bit more relieved.
More open to the possibilities.
Yes, I'm more open to certain things happening and certain things not happening, because then they can be explored later on. But yes, I am super happy.
You know, Marie, you know the saying, right? Good thing comes for those who wait.
Yes, this is true. This is true. I just, you know, I'm tired of waiting, mommy. I'm tired of it.
You're so impatient.
And we have to wait till 2022, mommy.
You know, Marie, at the pace 2021 is going, that's going to be around the corner.
This is true. I can't believe it's August already.
August already. 1 week of August just went by. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah, it's true. It did. And so with that, let's go into this episode. So, you know, they're going to Kamino, which I thought, at first I thought, oh, yes, you know, we got it right. But at the same time, I thought, oh, man, we got it right. Like, oh, wow. And I'm sure other people thought about it as well. It seemed like the logical place to go, just because that's where things had kicked off for them. So it made sense that things would come back full circle to this place that's very integral to who they are.
You know, you're spending too much time with Spock.
Spock, yeah. So I've been watching a lot of Star Trek. Yes, I have become very
logical.
recently. But yes, I do love the fact that we went back there. But before we touch on some of the more meatier parts of this episode, I thought we'd just talk about the Bad Batch and Omega, because I think they had some great moments that weren't completely filled up by action, and I just didn't want to overlook them. So one of my favorite moments is when Echo tells Omega to focus.
Yes.
Focus.
Because she's so jittery, you know, she's so intense and wanting to go out and rescue Hunter. It has to be now.
Yeah.
And he just says, you know, focus.
Focus, yeah.
Relax. Take a breather. Breathe deep, girl.
And I love that she was able to do the same later on with AZ. And mm-hmm. She's like, focus, AZ.
Yeah.
And I love that even though there are so many things happening, there are still lessons for her to learn and implement. And that's a very, very good lesson to learn. Staying focused, because I know I tend to be scatterbrained.
Yeah.
and I have to find focus. And, you know, and speaking of AZ, mommy.
Oh, I was so happy to see him.
He's back.
And oh, God.
You're worried about it.
Yes. Yeah,
it's funny because when she watched the episode, she's like, I'm more worried about AZ than all these other characters.
Yes.
With Fives, its mind got wiped and it got stunned in this season. So here's hoping it doesn't lead to, yeah, death. Because it seems to be getting worse. You know, yeah. It went from wiping to stunning to...
No,
you don't want it to go there.
No, I don't want it. Yeah. Like, gosh.
No, I know. I've been thinking about it too. It would be very cool for AZ to stick around. I do like the idea of him surviving and then potentially staying somewhere. So in the Fangirls Going Rogue group chat, we were talking about AZ, and Wesley, I believe, was the one to bring up that maybe AZ stays with Sid.
Hey!
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine that? Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
Because AC is very, you know, he's very organized. Yeah. And he always goes and tries to do the right thing. And we know Sid is not organized. And we know she not always does the right thing.
Although I think it might have been Kai who said it. But I don't remember. But the idea that AZ could stay
with Sid.
It's just so humorous to me.
Yeah.
Because Sid is Sid, you know?
Yeah. And AZ is AZ.
And AZ is AZ. So we'll see what happens with AZ. But we're hoping that he survives. And I love the moment where, you know, he pushes buttons and then knocks out the ES trooper, and then you have him going, "I did it."
Yeah.
He was so proud of himself. Oh, so sweet. Something else that I really love is when people around Tech have more information than him. It's becoming one of my favorite things to see him not having all of the information that someone else has. So, you know, Omega having information about the platform and tubes and Nalase's research lab, like none of that was in the schematics. So he's like, "Omega, how did you know this?" So I love the idea that, you know, people around him might have more information than he does, and he's not comfortable with that.
For Tech. But you know, one thing that we can point out is that he tried something new. Granted, it did not work, but he still came up with the idea, okay, no, he's going to expect us to go that way, so let's do this.
Right. You know, it didn't work
out. Because let's just say Crosshair has had a lot more experience by this point in the battle area and things not being like they used to anymore.
Right. And I think with Crosshair, it's just he knows how to think like them. Whereas Tech is, he's trying to be a few steps ahead, but he can't because Crosshair is already that far ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing that I really liked about the underwater tube and just seeing the underwater aspect of Kamino for just a little bit, it reminded me a lot of Castellan in Star Wars Resistance. And
yeah.
Them being underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, that I miss Resistance.
Yeah.
So I do like the point when Echo asks Omega if she's okay when they're inside of that sphere and they're headed towards the research lab. You know, you can tell that something, there's several things going through her head.
Echo notices.
Yeah, Echo notices, but we pretty much know what it is, and it's the fact that here she is at Kamino again, and thinking back to the episode with Borovio, she doesn't want to become an experiment.
Yeah.
And so she's willing to become that if it means saving Hunter. And you can tell those are the kind of things that are processing, that are going through her head in that moment. But I do love that Echo asks, you know, "Are you okay?" Very sweet of him to do. And we find out that the lab that they're going to is the lab where she was created and where their mutations were enhanced.
Where they all were created. That all Force 99, that's where it started.
Yeah, that's where it all started. And I love that for a few seconds you can hear the theme that plays in Borovio that's very ominous.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very great way to pull that back in. Because they were essentially in tubes.
But I do like the scene when they right before they start to destroy, they show all the areas cleared out.
Yes.
And they show the tubes where the babies were.
Yes, that's right.
And at least we didn't get to see the babies being destroyed there, but we still don't know if the babies were alive when they were taken out.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that at some point, but the idea that they could have potentially been eradicated beforehand is something that I think about because it's possible. I don't know whether these babies were already at full term and that they could be removed to then be trained, but I feel like that's not something the Empire is interested in doing. So it's
but at least we didn't see them there, like in Borovio.
We didn't see them. Yeah, we didn't see them there. That would have been a bit more heartbreaking, a bit more graphic.
Yeah.
But imagine though if they had if they had shown us it makes you want to hate the Empire even more.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, on a hopeful side, I like to think, okay, maybe these children were relocated and they're just being trained to become soldiers. Here's hoping that that's the case because I hate thinking about the alternative. But yes, the fact that they were in this lab and that Omega knew them at that point. And I'm curious how old she must have been. So she must have been very young, around maybe between 2 and 5, and having them be the same, relatively the same age. So they were all babies together.
Yeah.
Before she says that it was only for a short time before you were sent to be with other clones. And it tells you why she was so happy to see them.
Yeah.
The way that she had been when, you know, the series kicks off, where she's just like happy to see them in the lineup.
It ties a lot of things, like, okay. So this is how, this is why.
Yeah.
They in essence, they grew up together. Just
for a short time.
Yeah.
I do wish that this could have been explored in a novel. And I keep harping on this, but I really think a novel should have been released alongside the series, because it would have given us more about Crosshair, and it would have established this little moment with Omega and the clones. It would have enhanced it a bit more. But, you know, it is what it is. And then Omega is told that if anything happens, to go back to the ship and contact Rex. So do you think that we might see Rex in the next episode? Like, is that a possibility?
I don't doubt it, because right now they're trapped, obviously, after all that barrage of fire.
Yes, like, yeah.
We know they're going to be trapped somehow. And we know Gregor is with Sid.
Yes, this is true.
When they don't come, somebody has to be worried. Somebody's going to have to call somebody.
Right.
And who better than Rex?
I would hope that, you know, they had let Gregor and Sid know how things had changed, because originally they wanted to go back to Darrow, where he had been captured. So here's hoping that they've been told where they were going, so that way, if a certain amount of time has passed, like you said, that reinforcements would come to help. So here's hoping, because that would be really cool.
But it could go the way where they're on their own.
They're on their own, exactly. And their ship, which was really a great idea, having that platform there, that hidden platform, because it was very far away from the facility. So you know that the ship is okay, wherever it is. So they just have to get there and survive whatever emotional conflict they go through.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, we need to know what's going to happen with Crosshair.
I know, okay.
We need to know.
So speaking of Crosshair, let's go into the whole Hunter. There's, like, a whole section I wrote out about Hunter versus Crosshair. And I just, like, I really wanted to focus in on their interactions, because they were just so fascinating to me. But first, what did you think about the big reveal? Like, do you think the chip is really gone and that he was doing all of this by himself, like, of choice? Or do you think it's still in there?
Oh, the question.
That is the question.
Yeah, that it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
And, you know, some people are convinced that he was telling the truth, and others aren't as convinced. I'm one of those people. I'm not as convinced. I still feel like it's not fully him. I think I'm 50-50 on it, because I still think it's there. I think the chip is there, because the ion blast scar, and you see it in certain angles much better than what we've had in the past. So the ion blast scar is, like, right above his ear, but the chip scar that the other guys have, even Rex, as far back as Rebels, has always been near the temple of the head. So there isn't a scar there. Unless the Kaminoans were really precise and didn't leave a scar behind, that's also possible. But at the same time, I feel like if a chip had been removed, that there'd be a scar there. Because the positioning of the ion blast scar and the positioning of the skull, the chip, it's very different.
You know, guys, you really are very obsessed with this.
We are, scar. Mommy. We really are, mommy.
Look, I'm just gonna say behavior wise, they have made a very good job at keeping us in the dark, at making us guess. Because on the one side, he says certain things and does certain things that make you think, you know what? He's drank the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. He's all in. Mm-hmm. In the other, then you also get this feeling that maybe he still has the chip. Yeah. So maybe there's still some control there, because there's some, like you pointed out, right before turning, in one scene, right before turning around and confronting, looking at Hunter, he touches his head.
Yes, he does touch his head. Very similarly to what Wrecker.
Yeah, sort of like trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on.
It's like there's still a battle inside his head.
Exactly. So they have made it pretty good at giving us things that one second we say, oh, he's all in. And the next second, oh, maybe.
It is interesting.
Yeah. So I honestly, I'm just going to let it play out. At this point in the game, though, I can tell you that I am okay with either way.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, I'm saying.
You know, I have come to the point that whatever is, and whatever it is, I'll take.
No, I'm totally with you.
Because it's hard. His behavior is very erratic. The things that he does are very true to him, but they're also not.
They're also, to me, it's just, and I'm going to get to it at some point, but I use the word amplified. Everything that he's saying feels very amplified. I know Crosshair is a jerk because
yeah,
because it's we saw that in the Bad Batch arc. He doesn't like Regs.
That's why I love him.
But at the same time, I don't think he would go to the length that he would go without the chip. And that's why I feel like it's still a factor in all of this.
And that's why we get those moments where he's so interested in keeping the team together, because he really loves this group. He really feels he belongs with them, that they belong together. Mm. This is his family, and we know it by the things he does and says.
Right.
But it could be, like I said, the ship melted, and it's now...
Or like his brain has been hardwired to think this way. Right. And yeah, So
at this point, I to be honest, I'll take whatever it is. But I think that on the scenes that we have with him, we know that whether he still has a chip or not, a lot of the things that he said are more him than anything else. Whether it's because the chip is already hardwired into his brain and, like you say, it's amplifying his feelings, mm-hmm. or not, we have seen more of Crosshair in this episode than through the whole season.
I will say that the reveal, as interesting as it was to have that, I would have much preferred for them to have focused on Crosshair throughout the season, because we didn't get enough of him. And I get the reason why, because they wanted to build up to this moment. But at the same time, don't sacrifice clarity for the sake of mystery. And so, like, I wish we could have gotten his perspective along the way. And maybe it didn't have to be so overt where they tell us, oh, the chip is gone. They could have subtly built it while still giving us his perspective and then still giving us that reveal. I just feel like he just wasn't given the attention throughout the season. Anyway. So at one point, Crosshair says they don't leave their own behind most of the time. And I love when Hunter, he responds and he says, you tried to kill us. We didn't have a choice. And Crosshair says, and I did. And it's just every statement, every word that comes out of Crosshair's mouth, it's just like a jab to Hunter, because he's right. you know, not every, obviously not everything, especially when it comes to the Empire, but like the personal stuff, the personal conflict that they have. Crosshair is right. He didn't have a choice, obviously, in the first episode where he tried to kill them as they were leaving. And I'm also thinking he didn't have a choice in Reunion when he left them in the Ion Chamber, because his actions in this episode are way different than what we see in that episode of Reunion. So when he says, and I did, I'm thinking he's referring to both the situation in Aftermath and the situation in Reunion. If I had to put down a time when it, you know, the chip was supposedly removed, I'm going to have to say it's after the Ion Blast, because the Crosshair in that episode was, I felt, was being controlled by the chip.
See, this is how I view that. So he says, and I did, and he's correct. He was under the influence of the chip. Mm-hmm. He was being made to do those things.
Right.
So Crosshair, in that point, he is correct. He did not have a choice. But on the other hand, Hunter didn't either. Hunter needed to protect the others, the ones that were still not under the influence. The ones that Crosshair, regardless of whether he was being made or not, was trying to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Crosshair making him feel guilty and bad for what he did. But what choice did he really have? He says we always have choices. What choice did he really have? Died?
Well, yeah, that's a choice.
Come on. That's a choice.
I mean, there's the choice of him actually sticking it out. What Hauser did. Hauser chose to stay and decided to, I'm going to do what I can for my men.
Yeah, at that moment, yeah, I get that. I'm willing to do and stand up to anybody on my own. But if my kids are around, that's a whole different story, because my primary choice there is going to be to protect my children.
Right.
What do I need to do to make sure that they're protected? It's a whole different story. Adults on their own is one thing. Adults with children, that's a whole different story.
Well, regardless, I think what he's trying to get at is that he didn't have a choice. Yeah. And I know you're saying that Hunter, from his angle, didn't really have much choices either, but he still had choices. They weren't great choices.
No, I'm sorry.
I think also it's also reflecting the fact that he had plenty of choices to go back and rescue him at any point in the series, and he didn't. And I think that adds to the bitterness, the fact that you have Hunter here who's now captured, and he knows that the team is coming back for him. Where were they when Crosshair... What was the thing that I was talking about last episode where I said, where are their thoughts on Crosshair? Why haven't they talked about how they have left this man behind? And here they are trying to save Gregor.
Okay.
Didn't I say it?
Yeah. Let's not go down that rabbit hole, Jonah.
Well, anyway, to get to the point, I love that he's being a straight shooter with his words.
Yeah.
And that he's hitting the target every time.
I'm one who the first time around when everything happened with Crosshair was pissed. Because Crosshair, he is one of my favorite characters, okay?
Uh-huh.
He's a jerk, but he's my jerk and I love him. But I may have done something slightly different, but the outcome would still be the same as what Hunter did.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is, do you think Hunter and the Bad Batch messed up by not attempting or even thinking or voicing the fact that they should have helped Crosshair? And I feel like that bit them in the butt. Now they're having to face the consequences of not doing anything, because there are consequences to not doing anything. And here they go. These are the consequences. Of having not done anything, of not having not said anything.
I've already said what I needed to say about that one. I All stick right. to my view on this one.
All right. So Hunter asks, where are all the regs as they're walking down the hallway? And Crosshair says, when did you start caring about them? And this is obviously referring to the fact that in the last episode, they went and saved a reg, Gregor. And obviously, he doesn't know why they went there. He just knows that they did and that they rescued him. And they did nothing to rescue him in the first place. Why are you shaking your head?
Because his question about the regs have nothing to do with him caring about the regs.
He
has to do about what is happening. He knows the Empire is doing something. So his first thing is, where are the regs? Because he knows the Empire is doing something.
Yeah, the Empire is doing something, but it also reflects what they just did, which is what they did to help Gregor. They helped a reg. They saved a reg, which is why Crosshair's response is, when did you start caring about them? Because they never really did. And all of a sudden, here you are saving someone you don't even know. And I'm your brother. Where were you?
I don't see it that way.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Okay. This is the thing. Everybody's going to take their side. I'm just saying, in my opinion, that's not how I see it. Sorry, my dear.
All right. So then Hunter tells Crosshair about what the Empire is doing. And, you know, and he tells him, you know, it's not right. But Crosshair is focused on the bigger, the quote-unquote bigger picture. And I feel like statements like this, like bigger picture, being the ones that quote-unquote matter, being superior, those are things to me that feel like that's the chip talking.
Yeah.
Because of the amplification. And maybe I'm in denial, but there are certain things that, yeah, that to me is Crosshair, but there are other things where I'm like, that is something else talking.
And this is where I say that they've done a very good job at keeping us guessing, because one moment we say, oh yeah, okay. The next moment we say, oh, wait, one moment, you know, because of the things he says and the way he says it and when he says them. So it's sort of like, is the chip there? Yes or no?
Right.
We really don't have until they open that head of his, we won't know.
Or scan it.
Yeah.
Like, I would really like for that to be the case, to actually confirm it with a scan.
Yeah, because it's at this point, it's like, I really don't know if that is a ship or not. Because there's so many things that he says that are contradictory of whether he has it or not. And then, like, oh, my God, just tell me.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, come on, just show it to me. Just tell me already.
Yeah, it's difficult to say even now. And then, you know, we get to the point where they're all together in the same room. And I love when Crosshair says, see, following orders isn't so difficult.
and you go like, okay, so he has the ship.
And this is another thing. It's like, well, dang. And this is obviously referring to the first episode.
Yep.
Where they disobeyed orders. Yes. And Crosshair was insisting that they should follow orders. Because of the chip. And even Hunter says, since when did you start caring about the orders? And, you know, they see that something's wrong. And I still think that something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because following orders, that's something, unless he's already been conditioned by the chip to think like this outside of the chip's control, then yeah, I could see it being the case that this is just who he is now. And he even says it, this is who I am. Another great moment from Crosshair, because he had so many great lines.
Oh, no, yeah.
So many great moments.
Those singers that were like...
Yeah, it's just like a dagger.
Yeah.
Twisting even more. Hunter is talking about loyalty, and Crosshair says, you weren't loyal to me. Oh! more jabs. Because in a way, I see it. Like, where was the loyalty throughout the season? I saw it when Hunter felt guilty on that moon that they got stranded on, because he said it, I feel guilty. I saw it when the weapons case fell on the ground, on the floor, and Omega was the one who accidentally let it fall, and they're all looking at each other because they know that that was Crosshair's weapons case. But that was it. They don't refer to Crosshair again. They don't talk about Crosshair again. So yeah, where was the loyalty? And something that my best friend Elisa said, and I'm glad that she said it because I didn't think about it at the time, was that it's very often the case that when villains are doing their little, you know, speech and whatnot, and they're talking about how they feel, it's often the case where they're wrong. you know, they're on the wrong side of things, you know, warping things to fit their agenda, to fit what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is often the case. But here, when it comes to Crosshair, he's actually right in certain aspects. So it's nice to see the change in that, because of the fact that we traditionally see villains or bad guys being in the wrong. And obviously he is too in the wrong, but his reasoning for it, for feeling the way that he's feeling, is right. And for that, I understand now why the writers didn't have the Bad Batch talking about Crosshair or mentioning him or wanting to develop a plan to go after him, because, you know, the good guys aren't perfect. They're not going to do the right thing all the time. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. And this is their mistake. The fact that they didn't do what they were supposed to do as brothers. If you were loyal, this is what you should have done. But they didn't. And that just shows how fallible they are.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. And Crosshair was going to send Omega on a shuttle off-world.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting, because he goes on to say, you want to protect the kid, then let her go. Stop pretending to be something you're not. We're not like the Regs. We never have been. And I'm probably reaching here, like I am most of the time. But Crosshair knows Cut LaQuane, because we saw it in the second episode. We know that even Cut asked, where's Crosshair? And Hunter said, it's complicated. So they're aware of each other. They know that he left the army. They know that Crosshair knows that he is a father. Knowing all of this, you know, have on the one side, you have Cut telling Hunter what it's like to be a father, what it's like to have to, you know, give up everything for your children so that you can give them something better. And on the other side, you have Crosshair, who's telling him to stop pretending. I'm probably reaching. He's probably not talking about fatherhood in that instance.
Oh, no, I did get that.
Oh, did you get that?
Yeah,
okay.
No, I did get that by.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I'm not in agreement with is the fact that when he says, stop pretending being something you're not, I'm saying that's where you're wrong, Crosshair, because what if this is who he is? You right. See, before, they were who they were because this was the role they were giving under the Republic.
You're right.
But who is to say what they were supposed to do or what they would have chosen to do if given the opportunity?
Right, exactly.
So here is Hunter facing an opportunity with a kid. He sees Cut. He sees how he behaves, how he is. He's trying to be a father. What if this is what he is? What right. is this? This is so, you know, in that moment, I'm saying you are asking Hunter not to judge you, but you are judging Hunter. Because what if this he who he wants to be? What if he wants to be a father? What if he wants to protect? You don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in that moment, I don't think you reached out too much, because I do really think he was talking about fatherhood.
Ah, got it. And do you think he was sending Omega to the Empire, or was he just sending her away? And he even talked about, you know, her being with fugitives. She's in danger. So to me, him talking about that and then sending her off in a shuttle, I don't think he was sending her to be with the Empire. I think he was sending her to just be away from what was going on. What were your thoughts?
It could be either way, because if we're going to go by what he's said so far, the Empire is the safest place for him right now.
That's true. For her.
Sending her anywhere else could be a possibility, because he obviously had not told the Empire that Omega is special like
and
they
a
are.
Hands clone, right.
So she's really not a threat or not, of no importance to the Empire at this moment. So it could be that he's sending her somewhere where she probably is going to have a good life or whatever. Right. But at the same time, if we're going to go with what he's been saying, the safest place to be away from any danger in the universe is with the Empire.
And I also think that the fact that he said let her go, I don't think he would want her in the Empire's hands, because then that's going to be an incentive for the Bad Batch to break apart and try to rescue her. So she just needs to be out of the picture completely. But yeah, we don't really know for sure.
That's also true. Looking at that point, yeah, he probably, being that at this point, he's the one that is thinking more strategically.
Yeah, right. And Crosshair decides to give them a chance, something that he never got from them. And he goes on to say, we were brothers once, we can be again. And he desperately wants the Bad Batch to be with him as part of the Empire. And that's the case, obviously, because those little silver metallic plates that he uses to hit multiple targets at the same time, I don't think that's a fixture or something that's part of the training deck. I think that's something he purposely put there.
To be prepared.
Yeah.
No, he went in there. He took them there with a plan.
The plan. There was definitely a plan.
Yeah.
And Rampart was aware of this plan. Crosshair wanted, when he told the soldiers to stand down and they didn't obey his orders, he took them out. Because he wants the Bad Batch to replace these soldiers and be the elite squad with him.
Yep.
And I just love how it goes to show how he was really thinking this through and hoping that it would pan out, where he purposefully put these little discs around in the event that he needed to take the others out, to show that he is, I guess, you know, quote unquote, loyal. To the Bad Batch. That he wants them to be with him.
Yeah, this is part of his pitch.
Yeah, it is. It is his evil pitch. It reminds me of Anakin and Padme. In that conversation in Revenge of the Sith. Join me. And of course, in Empire Strikes Back with Darth Vader and Luke, you know, join me together. And Kylo later on with Rey, join me.
Yeah, it's like
you guys need to find other ways. to entice people to get to your side. Okay,
yeah. Like come on, man. I got that Darth Vader and Luke vibe at that moment.
Yeah.
So definitely he was there to replace. And like you said, I do believe Rampart knew about
it. Oh, yeah. Because we'll get to it, too.
Was very impressed with the Clone Force 99, what they did in Ryloth. So.
Yeah, we'll get to Rampart. I have, like, a whole little section just for him.
Just Monday.
I know. But when he says, don't become my enemy, and I had Anakin and Obi-Wan flashbacks. Nice. Yeah. You are my brother, Anakin. I loved you. And, you know, I got the feeling that Crosshair feels alone in all this. And we saw it, you know, early on in Replacements with these new troopers who, you know, talked down to him because he was a clone. You know, I don't think he's built up a relationship with any of them, which is why he was able to take them down as easily as he did.
I think the moment he fell alone was, you remember that shot where he's sitting in his bed in his cubby side, sitting, just holding his head, looking down.
Yeah.
That's the moment where he knows, I'm alone. I'm going to have to do something. This, you know.
Right. Yeah. I definitely saw that. And it's coming through here for sure that he wants the Bad Batch to be with him. What do you think would have happened if the droids hadn't been activated? Because Hunter says, in response to don't become my enemy, he says, we never were. You know, we never were enemies. And Crosshair looks like he's processing.
Like his puzzle. I'm confused.
Yeah. And it's funny because it was in that moment when he turns his head to see that droid's being activated. You can see the side of his head better. And I thought, that chip is still in there. I would have liked to have known what would have happened if the droids didn't come into the picture. Like, how far would that conversation have gone? Would Hunter have been successful in coaxing him back? Or would Crosshair have just kept doubling down?
I think Crosshair would have doubled down. I think that at this point, being that he's in the state of mind that he is, that more than the chip being a problem is now his attitude towards everything.
Right.
Like you say, he's bitter. And he's so bitter that he's not seeing anything else. It's like he's seeing red, no other color.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would have just doubled down. To me, that's the most obvious conclusion if the
nothing had happened.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you think Omega helped or hindered what was going on?
No, I think her plan helped more because her putting those droids there allow them to be
work together,
the Bad Batch once again.
Yeah.
To feel that.
Yeah.
To see how that works, how that is.
Felt, too.
And that's the reason why, at the end, more than anything else, more than whatever Crosshair had said, that's the reason in the end he took Crosshair.
Yeah.
And I love that look between him and Omega, where Omega sort of like slightly nudge
nods
and says, that's the right thing.
Yeah.
This is what it should have happened a long time ago already.
Yeah.
But like everything, things need to progress. Things need to happen. And this is why I think those droids help immensely, because it just sort of like brought that brotherhood message and feeling right there to center, to survive. This is, we need to be together.
Right. I completely agree. And yeah, just the whole Bad Batch fighting together, the theme
that
song.
When that song came out,
I was just so happy. It felt so amazing to see them working together again.
Oh my God.
And then I love also too when they were fighting, when Crosshair and Hunter were fighting hand to hand. Obviously, Crosshair isn't as great at it because he's such a distant figure where he places himself far away as a sniper, and Hunter is more of the hand to hand type of guy. So Crosshair wasn't excelling on it as much because of that being Hunter's expertise. So I really loved seeing that, because Crosshair isn't the type of guy to be right there in the middle of the action. And at one point, actually, there was a part where I thought Crosshair was going to leave. Like right after that ES trooper, I forget what's her designation, but right after that ES trooper leaves, I thought Crosshair was going to follow. And I thought it was going to get to the point where the ES trooper gets into the ship. And I thought Crosshair was going to see himself being left behind by the Empire, by Rampart. And I thought, oh, that would have been so good. but, you know.
I think that the fight of them fighting together was more important than Crosshair.
Yes.
I'm hoping that he gets to see it now, if he survives the whole ordeal.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's knocked out now. He didn't see the whole place explode. Obviously, he's going to experience it being in the wreck that they're in. But I don't know whether that's going to have an impact on him. The fact that he was left behind, that Rampart said, let the clones die together.
Yeah, you know, it's less of an impact than it would have been if I had been right there in front of him happening.
Because that would have been so cool for him to see the ship.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he sees the bombardment of...
Just to point out, at that point, because of his mentality,
right,
he could have seen it as the most logical thing to
have
happen.
Done. Oh, I see. You know who that reminds me of? And my best friend Elisa brought this up, because I had mentioned that the whole thing between Hunter and Crosshair reminded me a lot of two characters in the novel Lost Stars, where one of them is really supportive of what the Empire is doing because of her beliefs, her personal beliefs, and she feels like she has to be a contributing member of the Empire. And the other one is a guy who becomes a rebel, who was initially part of the Empire, but sees what the Empire has become and defects. And so at the very end, they're in this Star Destroyer. I don't remember what they were talking about. They're probably just clashing in terms of ideologies. And then he ends up kidnapping her. He like removes her from, because she was intending to go down with the ship,
you know, she was going to die as an Imperial, but he stops that from happening because he loves her. So he rescues her, and she is pretty much still in that mentality of being with the Empire, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. And so you have that something that's similar here. You have Crosshair, who is of the Empire mentality. Hunter has no choice but to rescue him and pull him out of the situation. But we don't know what's going to happen between them. And my best friend brought up this character called Nash Windrider, who has the best name, I think, in Star Wars. And this guy was an Alderaanian. He was from Alderaan. Saw his planet being destroyed. And instead of thinking, oh my God, these people are nuts, they just destroyed my home, he's like, you know what? Alderaan deserved it.
Oh boy.
So he essentially buckled down and became this it's like, why? You were from Alderaan. And so I feel like him seeing the ship go and him, you know, doing the mental gymnastics to say, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He would have been a Nash Windrider in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I gotta reread that book because it's been too long. I don't remember much of it. Going back to Crosshair, you know, as we touched on before, puts a hand on his head. And yes. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they've been so good at not letting us know what the heck is happening.
I was just like, wait, what? You're giving me mixed signals right now. Mixed signals. Because that is totally something that we've seen Wrecker do.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, his chip is still in there. Is it though? I don't know. No. And so to me, it gave it away that maybe there's something still in there because of the whole, remember the whole suborder thing. If your brothers end up disobeying orders, you have the right to kill them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he joins them in that moment. He, you know, if you want to, I want to think about it as like him overcoming the programming in that moment, joining his brothers to fight off the droids. And then his head hurts because
he's going against the programming. He's going,
exactly.
Again, goes to the point that we really don't know whether his ship is there or not. It's like there's so many mixed messages in one action, you think, oh, he doesn't have it. It's all him. In another action, you say, oh, maybe he does. And it's not really him.
I know,
and,
right?
Oh, my God. Like,
it's just so confusing to me.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But it's an interesting kind of confusing.
Confusing, because it's the type of confusing that makes you think.
Right.
And we like thinking. We like imagining. We like pulling.
It reminds me of this.
Threads out of the.
It reminds me of this quote from Blanc in Knives Out, where he goes, no, it's not related to the donut. No.
That's the one I thought of.
No. It's specifically, it's like way back in the beginning of the movie when he's like, it doesn't make any sense. It compels me, though. And I just like, that's exactly what I feel right now. It doesn't make any sense. It compels me, though.
I did thought about Knives Out, but I thought this is the donut, and this is the hole, and the hole within the hole.
Yeah, it's like,
what? And there's another donut in there. Like,
what?
What the heck is happening?
Yeah, we don't know. We'll find out, hopefully. But I do love the intense eye stare between Hunter and Crosshair, because it reminded me, it brought me back to the first episode when they're on Onderon and they're staring at each other. And, you know, Joel Aaron and his team just did such a fantastic job with the lighting, because the light is hitting their eyes. It's going back and forth between them. And then all of a sudden, Hunter hits the probe droid. Here, you have them having that, you know, that staring contest again, and Hunter is the one to shoot again first, and he gets Crosshair with the stun. It also reminded me, going back to Cad Bane, because we know Hunter wasn't really all that great in that moment. You know, he ended up getting shot, because Cad Bane shot first. But I'm just glad that Hunter was able to, you know, do what Echo had told Omega and focus.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah, I think that with Cad Bane, he was too emotional.
Oh, maybe. Or I just think with Cad Bane
was just, is that good.
Just, yeah, that, it was, he was superior in that aspect, yeah. And so Hunter apologizing to Omega was another favorite moment of mine because of the fact that he had promised her, you're never going to go back to Kamino again. Here she is on Kamino again, but it was for completely different reasons. And he apologizes. And I love when she said, you did the same for me when you came back in the beginning of the season, when you came back to rescue me from the cell. And I just, they're so beautiful. I love them so much. Oh, man. And Hunter grabbed Crosshair's backpack and put it on his back. And then, of course, my mind had to go somewhere because it always has to go somewhere. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, oh, my God, imagine if he opens the backpack and he finds remember the picture that Omega had looked at at the very beginning of the season where you have all five of them, or all four of them, I forget. I don't think Echo was present in that photo. But imagine he opens up the backpack and in there is that photo because this is what Crosshair has been looking at ever since.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I really want, you know, the feels. I want the feels to be there. But yeah, oh, man, that whole thing was intense. In writing the notes for this, I thought, how the hell am I going to do this? I want to talk about everything and everything in this episode. But yeah, we got most of it down, I think. But now let's go on to... Oh, well, did you have any other thoughts about the Bad Batch, Omega, Hunter, Crosshair in those scenes before we move on to Rampart and the destruction of Kamino?
The only one being that I think that that's of all the possibilities of what Crosshair said, that was absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. And I have a definite...
Oh, yeah. I say that Crosshair was right, not that he was right in everything that he was saying.
No, I'm saying that of everything that he said, there's a possibility that he was right and there's a possibility that he was wrong. The one thing that he said that I definitely have no doubt about it, he was wrong, is when he said, stop pretending to be who you're not. Because I do believe this is who Hunter is. Mm. And this is who he's chosen to be.
Right.
And that, to me, comes even more louder in the end when he tells Omega, I'm sorry that you're here, that I promised you. Because he made that, I'm going to be this parental figure
to you. Yeah. So beautiful. So Rampart and Kamino. Oh, Rampart.
Oh, my God. What a
jerk. He's a Tarkin in the making. But Rampart, like we were talking about earlier, seems to be aware of Crosshair's plan. Because he goes on to say, if his plan fails, none of them will be a problem any longer.
Yeah.
So he was also thinking about this plan succeeding and the Bad Batch becoming part of Crosshair's elite squad so that they could become an asset to the Empire.
And this is a reason why I said that probably in an alternate scene where Crosshair will be looking at them leaving, that he will think this is the right thing to do, because then he also says, stay on schedule.
Right. And he understood that if he didn't stay on schedule, then it's my fault for not staying on schedule. It's not the Empire's fault.
Yeah. So he's been given the opportunity to bring his group together, but there are consequences if it doesn't happen.
Exactly. Ah, freaking Rampart.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming back to Hauser, because Hauser's hot and I can't get rid of him from my mind. I wonder if Crosshair took from Hauser the whole staying behind and getting his men to fall in line with him and going against the Empire. Because Hauser did get some men to leave, and obviously they were arrested, but... I feel like that moment was pretty impactful for him because I think Crosshair thought, what if the opposite can happen?
Yeah.
What if I can get my men to actually join the Empire?
I definitely believe that was an influence, and that was the reasoning behind that whole episode there. To see something that I could do, that I could think about. It may not be in the same sentiment, but still it is something that I can try and do.
Right. And I still wish that we could have had a nugget between Crosshair and Hauser having shared words with each other, because that could have shed a little bit more light on Crosshair. Because at this point, supposedly doesn't have his chip. But still, I would have just liked a little bit between them. But, you know, we find out through Rampart that the cloning technology is now under the Imperial control. And obviously things are done with that. You know, we see baby Grogu later on. I mean, he exists at this point in time. But we see Dr. Pershing and him being part of the Kaminoan Science Institute, whatever. You know, the facility. We see the facility and those empty shots. And I really got it right in the heart right there. Because, you know, the first time we see Kamino is in Attack of the Clones. Obi-Wan goes there. Well, Obi-Wan didn't even have a clue where the heck Kamino was. And then he gets there and we see all these clones and they're eating at the cafeteria and they're learning and they're doing their stuff. And you don't realize at that point, because Clone Wars wasn't even a thing at that point in time. I might have been just a thought in someone's head, but it wasn't a thing. So, you get to know all of these clones in Star Wars The Clone Wars. You get to see them fight for Kamino because that's their home. You see 99 dying to protect his home. And here it is being destroyed and decimated in one fell swoop. And it's just like... Oh, that hurts. Yeah. That hurts. Oh, and yeah, I got the shivers and I started tearing up because it's literally the end of an era.
I was just looking for those baby tubes.
I know, the babies. When they started rolling, I actually paused. I remember pausing because I thought they better not have these kids in there. But no, they didn't. And so when Omega looks at the explosion, even though it's very heartbreaking, the explosion pretty much plumes from where their lab was, Nalase's lab was. So the place where they had been born, where they had first gotten to know each other, that's one of the first things to go. And she's just staring at it as it's blowing up. And I can imagine the kind of things that are going through her head.
She didn't want to be there. She didn't want to end up being an experiment. But after all, this is her home. This is where she came to be.
Right.
It is a hard thing to see.
Alderaan is the closest thing I can think of as like seeing your home being destroyed. Leia, for example, and the moment that she sees it. Happen.
Like in Resistance, when
Kaz
sees his homeworld.
Oh, yeah, it's equivalent to that.
It's like that.
Yeah. Oof, shivers. I got shivers.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just kept going. And I remember one point I was like, okay, you can stop now.
Like, give them a chance to come out of there alive.
You can stop. Oh, man. You know, at the end of it, I thought, if they can survive the ion chamber and how they managed to get out of that mess, they can survive this. At least I hope.
Here's hoping. We have one more episode, so they're still alive somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, and Rampart, I imagine, you know, into the second season, hopefully we'll see him again. Not that I want to see him again, but he seems to be a very good villain, antagonist type of character.
He seems to be the one.
He's very cold.
Yeah.
Very callous. And so I just thought it would be great to have him be the person that acts as the antagonist going forward. Unless, you know, Crosshair ends up being that kind of antagonist where he somehow gets back to the Empire. I don't know. Final thoughts. You know, we have the Attack of the Clones theme that was popping up there, the Kamino theme, which is really cool to hear because it's just one of my favorites from that movie. As they're landing onto that platform, you hear it playing. And I thought, oh, memories. Mm-hmm. I loved Omega's wet hair.
Ah, yeah.
That was so cute. I love that they gave her that effect. That was really neat. I also love when the ES trooper finds her and she goes, oh, hello. Yeah. She was so sweet.
I'm kind of right in the middle of something.
Yeah. She is so sweet. Oh, man. Did you have any other thoughts?
The one thing that I missed that I think it would have made it sort of like even cooler was Nalase being there.
Ah, oh, yeah, that would have been great. Yeah.
Because we know the lengths to which this woman went to keep
Omega safe. And here she is in the middle of it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. That would have been awesome. But
I'm hoping season two will give us more
on her. Because I really want to see what is she going to do. I haven't seen what the Empire is capable of.
Right.
And what is her role moving forward in the whole cloning process as a scientist with the Empire.
Right. I feel like there is not really closure between them. And I would like to see that surface again. So for what comes next, what do you think is going to happen? Or what do you want to see happen next?
I want to somehow see Rex and Gregor work together. And probably Wolf. I don't know.
That would be neat.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would love to see Crosshair survive and to have the chip in there.
Oh, because
regardless of whether I believe he's drank the cooler or not, regardless of the difference of points of view that I have with you on my daughter, I do want him to be able to choose, to really choose.
Right.
Like, not that the chip amplifies anything, not that the chip melted in his brain, but I really want him, I really want that to be clear and open. Was it removed and this is who he is? Or was it not removed? Let us remove it and allow him to become what he really wants to do.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like, I just want to see.
Right.
Does it or does it not? Clear. I want that head scan open, whatever it is that you need to do. I want to see it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I want that. I go back to the beginning and how he was the only one who was affected in the Bad Batch by this chip. And I really do wonder what he would have been like had the chip not taken effect. And to me, he would not have stayed with the Empire. He would have gone with his squad.
Yeah, I have no doubt about it, because the comment, that one comment from the part of Hunter.
That we were loyal to each other?
No, that following order was never a thing.
Oh, yes, I see.
That one thing tells you a lot about
who they were, how they operated.
And who Crosshair specifically was.
Yeah.
He was not a follower.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. His chip was just more inclined to work. But I honestly, if that thing hadn't activated, he would have been with them from the very beginning. And it's just sad to think about, because if the chip has been removed, like he said, then the chip already did its damage. It's influenced him in a way that, I was dreading. I guess he's making his own choices. But, I go back to the beginning and I think about, man, he would not have done this if he hadn't been exposed. And it reminds me of something that one of my friends, Trisha, said in the Fangirls Going Rogue group chat, where she said, even in our own situation right now, we have family members who think very differently, politically speaking. And maybe they didn't always think like that. Maybe they were influenced along the way. And so, you can't help but think, man, Crosshair was exposed to something. Now he thinks that that's the way to go, when it's really not.
And that's what I wanted to comment about. Like, in life, we know that our choices are influenced by what we learn, what we know, what we see, what we hear. There has to be a point where, amongst all the information that we're bombarded with, we make a choice.
Mm.
Which side am I going to believe?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to believe this side or going to believe that side?
Right.
Which piece of information sounds more truthful to who I am, to who I believe I am?
Right.
Which piece of information will validate my choices, the choices that I have made up to now?
Right.
Because that's another thing. Growing up and developing and learning and maturing is all about not just what you hear and the influences you get, but about your behavior and how you modify that behavior. And you can behave in certain ways that if you need to validate those behaviors, you're going to end up choosing one specific right. view, because that's the view that's going to validate what you did.
Right.
If you're not willing to alter yeah. and grow beyond that. Crosshair is a very, very intriguing, very interesting
character. And was on a very interesting path right now. And I don't see him dying at the end of this next episode at all.
Because it would be a great disservice.
Yeah, seriously. to the fans, too, for removing that kind of potential storytelling there. So I don't think that's what's going to happen. I don't think anyone really is going to die. Maybe AZ. I'm sorry, mommy.
Oh, God.
I'm very sorry, but
Dobie, it's a Dobie all over Dobie, again.
I'm sorry,
it's Dobie all over again.
And remember, I told you my mom was washing dishes, and I came up to her and I said, "You know what? What if Echo's the one who dies?" And you know, given that Echo has been voicing his opinions about wanting to be a soldier, you know, and giving us the feeling that he wants to help Rex, what if they go and honor his memory by helping Rex? Because that's what Echo would have wanted. And he's officially the last domino to fall. Oh, man.
Damn, Gianna Marie, you really have a morbid. Let me tell you something. For somebody who fights so much for Crosshair, you really have a very morbid imagination.
I really do. I do.
Oh, my Lord.
I admit it.
The last domino to fall. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, well, that was Fives when we initially thought Fives, because we thought Echo had been gone. But anyway.
No domino has to fall.
Exactly. So here's hoping they all survive. I had written at some point in my notes, but I ended up taking it out. I had written that, remember how in the past I kept emphasizing, you know, where's their growth? Why haven't they been applying what they've learned throughout the season? I feel like they keep, you know, being stagnant in that they haven't been developing. And that's how I initially felt like halfway through the season. And I feel like maybe that hasn't happened yet because Crosshair needs to be there to grow with them. Maybe that's what we're going to see in the second season. But one other question I was going to ask, like, what title do you think this next episode is going to be? Because we don't know the title. And I told my friend, imagine if it's like Escape from Kamino. And she's like, if that's the title, I'm going to laugh out loud.
Why? What?
Because this is Return to Kamino. And the next episode, I'm like, imagine if it's Escape from Kamino.
Well, makes a lot of sense.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. But yeah, I have no idea, really.
Or a new beginning.
Maybe. And I like to think that something similar to what happened in the first episode between Crosshair and Omega having that moment in the brig, I like to think that they're going to have something similar in this next episode where they might have a moment where they're trapped and that, you know, they share a moment. You know, a few words with each other. Hopefully, maybe. Well, we'll see. She also mentions, I remember she had mentioned to the others that there are tubes that run throughout Kamino. And I thought, oh, what if Omega actually gets them to a different tube to escape? So that might be a possibility too. I also think that Empire is kind of gone from this point. You know, like they did what they did with Kamino, and they're going to be gone. They might leave some fighter pilots behind just in case, but I think they're pretty much I think from this point forward, it's going to be about the Bad Batch.
They're at the stage of their Empire growth where they think they're invincible. So yeah. When they're done.
Exactly.
Nothing else going to happen.
Yeah, they underestimate their enemies. So do you think Crosshair is going to stay with them, or do you think he's going to go back with the Empire?
To be honest, if that happens, it doesn't happen necessarily on the last episode.
This episode.
I hope that it happens next. That would be an interesting storyline for next season.
Right.
Because right now we know he's been struggling with his thoughts, with everything that has been happening, with what he feels was done wrong to him, and where he feels he's safer and it's the obvious choice for them to be.
Right.
If he had if he still has the chip, what I definitely would like to know right now in this last season is the chip there, yes or no?
Right.
If it's there, let's remove it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're right there. The facilities are there.
Well, I mean,
there.
The facility is gone, Mommy. Yeah. Everything's gone.
But, okay, so then if the chip cannot remove there, at least the chip being there, it is a starting point for next season.
Yes.
And then I can see once they remove the chip, him choosing to stay with the Empire.
Right. Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. That would be interesting.
But for this episode, to be honest, I'm interested in three things. Three mm-hmm. things.
What is it?
One, AC does not die.
Okay.
Two, the last domino doesn't fall.
Okay.
And three, show me the chip.
Yeah.
Show me the money. Show me the chip.
Yeah, show me the chip. I honestly think Rex might show up. That would be really fun for them to do. I mean, it's not fun because they're trapped, but I'm saying fun for us. We'd see Rex again. And did you get the feeling that Hunter chose a side? Or do you think he's still, this is our group, this is the only side we need to worry about?
No, he definitely has made his choice.
Yeah, about being against the Empire.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when he was talking to Crosshair about it.
Yeah, he
You know it's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely knows. Now, he has made a choice, but how he proceeds, that's are two
right.
different
two different things, yeah.
So we will have to see how he proceeds, being that he also has come to the realization that he is a father.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that will be a very interesting dynamic now going forward. And I would love to see that. But as far as making a choice, like the Martez sisters
said
he has made his choice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What I want, I don't think I'm going to get, because it's just a dream. But I would like to see it end on not a cliffhanger. I mean, there is the potential of it ending in a cliffhanger just because there's a second season. But I would like for it to be the case where they get off of Kamino relatively quickly. And it's just a matter of finally talking things out, I would hope. But also Echo finally choosing where he wants to be. And it leaving us with him going with Rex and then the original four Bad Batch members together. And obviously Crosshair still struggling with what's going on. That would be a very interesting end for me. Whether that's going to happen, I highly doubt it, because I feel like they're going to rip our hearts out one way or the other. But we will see. We will see.
What is it that they love ripping hearts out?
I don't know. I think it's just the Star Wars thing to do, you know? They have like a checklist. Are you stomping on the hearts of your fans? Yes or no? And if it's a no, then you're not doing enough. You need to stomp on their hearts.
Are you making it difficult for people to choose and see and check?
I feel like that's what they go into. Like, how can we screw with their hearts, with their emotions?
have we screwed with their hearts enough? Check.
I love it. No, overall, honestly, I really do love this show. I really love the season. I've had my little complaints here and there, but at the end of the day, I love what they give us. I'm really excited to see where the second season goes. So we will see what happens come this next episode. But that's it for today's. You know, next time you hear from us, we'll be talking about the season finale, season one. Thankfully, it's not the series finale, because that would have sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, season one finale. But before then, where can listeners find you, Mommy?
Listeners can find me on Twitter with the handle @Hubian214.
And listeners can find me, Blue Jay Guys, on Twitter with the handle @BlueJayGuys. And you can also find Geeky Bubble on Twitter with the handle @GeekyBubblePod.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.